Isaiah chapter 1. In the beginning of this large book, we are actually going to be at the end of King Uzziah's day. And at the he begins this chapter by King Benjamin talking to his sons, and he tells them the importance of these records. And he says, without these records, in verse 5, he says that they would, that the people would dwindle in unbelief. But we just saw that of the with the people that he, that were in Zarahemla when they arrived. And we see the importance of these records. And we'll see, though, if you are given the records, they will keep you from dwindling in unbelief. But if you reject the records, then you are destroyed. Meaning, if you don't have the records, then you dwindle in unbelief and you go off on your own, but you're not destroyed. But if you have the records and you and then you don't use them, then you come under a greater condemnation and you are destroyed. And then King Benjamin exhorts his sons that they search these records diligently. And it tells you how you're supposed to do it. Not just read them, and read them as again, fulfilling your requirement to check that block off and you're becoming worthy, but you're to search them so that you can try and learn how they apply to you and get the feelings of what are going on in this book so that you can transpose those feelings to yourself. Well, notice also that the greatest orator of the Book of Mormon was King Benjamin. He gave the greatest address of all, yet did he use his own precepts? No. He directed his children to the Book of Mormon, or to his scriptures at the time, and told them to go there, and that's where they were to get their knowledge. And it says also in verse 8 that he spoke to them other things by the Spirit, and obviously it was by the Spirit or by the power of the Holy Ghost, which he had a right as a father. But the first thing he told them to do was to go to these records, and he again did not use his own precepts. And again in verse 7, he tells them to keep the commandments of God that ye may prosper in the land. Again, that's prosper in the land, which means materially you will receive all the things that you need in abundance to maintain your life. And that you don't need government and so on and so forth. All you need is the Lord, and he will take care of all your needs and all of your wants. This is repeated over and over again, that following the Lord is how you will truly prosper. Everything else, no matter how good it seems, will lead you into captivity. He describes later on that what wickedness is, and what wicked people, what happens to wicked people is that do not have records and stuff and do not follow them, as they become a, this is verse 13, they become a wicked and adulterous. Meaning they do not, wicked means they do not follow the Lord, and then they commit great sins, which is adultery, and that's what we have today. Now, this probably doesn't mean that every single person commits adultery, but we have an adulterous mind, and we live amongst an adulterous people, meaning that we accept adultery among us. That's part of our life, and we condone it, we accept it, we have it on television, we lust after it, lusting after it. And remember, the Lord said, if you have it in your mind, then you have committed adultery already. And so we could say our whole society is adulterous, or we've all committed adultery in our mind. We have this stinking TV and R-rated movies, and everything is adultery, 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 and lusting after women, and that is certainly describes our society today. Says that therefore if this happens to you, that the Lord will not, we're in verse 13 still, will no more be able to preserve them. Now again, we see here that the Lord is their protector. In fact, in verse 14 it says that if the Lord had not extended his arm, then they would have fallen to the Lamanites. The Lamanites were more powerful than they are, and physically as men. And we can see throughout the Book of Mormon, there'll be story after story of how they were able to beat superior forces. So it is not our almighty force that does it. In fact, if the United States has the greatest army on the earth, most powerful, that's really irrelevant. It can have, that if we don't follow the Lord, we're headed for destruction. And if we do follow the Lord, it doesn't matter how powerful our army is. We build the army according to the Lord, and then He will ensure that we can stand against any army, no matter how big they are. But the key issue there is that the Lord is our protector, and if we make Him our protector, we will have success. If we do not, then He will not. Then we will not have success, and then we can only do that if we keep our eyes single to Him and do what He says creating a righteous people. So therefore, he said, when the people are not faithful to the Lord, they're unfaithful, they don't have their faith in the Lord, then they will not prosper. And that they and then he goes on, this is in verse 17, he talks about how afflictions come upon them, and famine, and it doesn't mention here, but obviously the war with the Lamanites. But why does this come on? Well, that's the important thing of verse 17. It says, to stir them up in remembrance of their duty. So when they begin to veer away from the Lord, all these things come, but they don't come just as a revenge or as a punishment. You could call them a punishment of the wicked because the wicked don't turn back. But to the righteous, to those who have some desire in their hearts to follow the Lord, then it's to stir them up. Stir them up unto a righteous desire. Righteous desire is to turn to the Lord and do whatever He tells you to do, to form your society, your economy, your government, your everything, according to the dictates of the Lord. And your Lord is, therefore, becomes your government and your provider, or your economy and your army, or your protector, because He is the head of all things. And so that's what it's for, is to stir them back up to remember the Lord. Now, do we do that or... do we believe in that today? No, we don't believe that. And of course, we haven't had the tremendous destruction, plagues, and wars that we talk about in the Book of Mormon, but they will come. The Book of Mormon clearly prophesies that they are coming in the last day. And again, the good word is that for the righteous, it's only to stir you up in remembrance. For the wicked, it's to destroy you. And indeed, we could say that then maybe it is a punishment for the wicked. So then he tells them, as he said in this chapter, he tells his sons, go off and gather the people, for I want to give them my last words and confirm the kingdom, unto Messiah. But notice where he tells them to gather. And he says, gather them to the temple. And notice, they gather people to the temple to hear the words of the Lord, as passed on by King Benjamin. But that's where people go to the temple to be taught and to hear the words of the Lord. We don't do that today. And not only that, who did he tell to come? Whoever would come. It wasn't just, we're going to have a solemn assembly and only the select general authorities and the few select wonderful men get this great honor. And notice how they use the word honor when they talk about going to that. All they're doing is to honor men. That is, therefore, is not sanctified to the Lord. The solemn assemblies of today are not sanctified to the Lord, because their main purpose is to honor men. And that is not the way of the Lord. The Lord is to call together, the leaders are to call together the people, even the least among them, to teach them the word of God. And anyone who would like to hear the word of God, it is taught to them. And we'll see later on that's what is meant by him saying that when you're a righteous people, the word flows liberally. It is not just withheld and only given to a few select people in the secrecy of the temple. The word flows liberally to all, and so that all might know their duties and what the Lord requires of them.